worldliness. You know, and I think that was not only a message for me, I think that's for the church at large, particularly in America. Why is the church in America so impotent? Why is the church in America having so little impact on our culture? Our culture is running the church over with tire treads. Why? Well, I think it's because the church as a whole is worldly, carnal, cowardly, distracted, and powerless in America. Worldliness. I know, praise God. When I talk about being worldly, I don't mean, totally consumed, but in America, it's very easy to be worldly. It's easy not to be worldly when you're living in Nigeria, where you have nothing except the hut that you're living in, and, you don't even have electricity most of the day. Maybe 2 or 3 hours out of the day, you get some power, and you don't have running water, and you got to go to the river for your water supply every day. It's kind of easy not to be worldly there. But in America, man, I hate to say this, but we are worldly in America, and the church in America is worldly. We are all consumed. Instead of being consumed with the kingdom of God, we're consumed with building our own little, paradise in our own little world. And the comfort and the luxury and the niceties and getting all those things, we are worldly, and so we're powerless. We're not only worldly, but we're carnal. And by that, I don't mean that we're a bunch of perverts or anything, or we're just, totally, out in left field and just like totally consumed with sin and addicted. What I mean is that, I am much less carnal than I used to be, praise God, but Jesus said, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. That's the standard. When you look at your life, can you say, I am walking in holiness like my Father in heaven is holy? How many people would say, I'm that holy? How many people would say, I got a little bit of growing in holiness to do yet? A couple. Some of us are still on the fence. I'd say we got a lot, yeah. How many people would say, we got a lot of growing in holiness to do yet? Praise God. So I said, Lord, I don't want to be worldly. I want to be heavenly minded. I want to stamp eternity across my eyes and see my life in light of eternity. I don't want to be carnal anymore. I want to put that garbage away, and I want to walk in holiness and integrity and the joy and the freedom that comes with that and the boldness that comes with that. I don't want to be cowardly anymore. Nobody likes confrontation. Well, some people do. Some people love to just get in your face. But most people don't like confrontation. We would love to have fun with one another. We want to talk about what we like about each other. And we tend to avoid confrontation, And if I could borrow you again, if you didn't bathe or something today, and you did, if you like really smelled funny or something, most people would just go and just like hold their breath. That's not fair, is it? Brother, I'm sorry, I apologize. If for instance, I did not bathe today, I kind of reeked and I smelled a little bit funny, and Mark came up to me, it would make Mark probably uncomfortable to tell me, John, man, you're counseling with all these people, you ought to take a bath, brother. Put on some deodorant or something. Change your clothes, because we don't like to confront people with stuff like that, do we? No, thank you. Okay, that's better. Yeah, I'm a rookie at this stuff. I need to learn how to do this better. But truly, we're uncomfortable with confrontation. But Scripture says, speak the truth in love. You're not doing your friend any favors if you lie to him, if you don't help them deal with the things that are besetting them in their life. If they're lost, then you need to share the gospel with them and not be ashamed. If they're struggling with some other thing, you need to be honest and say, hey, brother, man, I love you, but you know what? Wow, what's up with this? And so we need to, rather than being cowardly, we need to be bold. And when the Scripture says the righteous are as bold as a lion. If we're walking with God in that light and we're fellowshipping with him, filled with his Spirit, he will give us the grace to be bold so that we can speak the truth graciously in people's lives. Distracted. I am terrible about that. Man, I can go to the internet wanting to research something. I'm going to look this up so I can, use it on Sunday or something. And as soon as the homepage comes up, forget about it. 20 minutes later, I'm still, wow, that's interesting. What's that all about? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be researching. I don't know about you guys. I can get distracted in a heartbeat. And not only in the little things, but in the big things. spend my life chasing rabbit trails that God has not ordained or called me to, going in different directions, investing my time and emotions and money and resources and energy and stuff that God is saying, what are you doing, John? I didn't call you to that. You're supposed to be over here building the kingdom, you know, working for the kingdom. What are you doing down there? But we tend to be so distracted. Does anybody here get distracted like me? Man, you know, you go to the store to buy something and you get there and you're so distracted with all the other things in the store. It's like you start heading home. You never got the thing you went for. Halfway home, you realize, oh my gosh, I forgot. And so then you got to speed at twice the speed limit so that your wife doesn't know that you just spent the, you know, last 20 minutes going back and forth to get the thing she sent you for. Because we're distracted so easily. Rick Warren said, man, to be effective, be selective. Don't just disperse your life all over the place where you get, you know, weak and unfocused. Be focused. Man, know what counts in life. Know what your priorities are and focus on them. How many people have ever said, well, I'm going to sit here and pray for half an hour? And 15 minutes into that, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be praying. Let me turn off the TV. Man, we're so distracted, you know, and God wants us to be focused because just like light, you know, when you focus light, you know what a laser beam is? It's focused light. You focus light in a concentration, you can make it so powerful to cut through steel. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be steel cutters, man. To be so focused and let the light of God focus so much in our life that we go in victory in the things he's called us to do. And, you know, when I got done thinking about that and meditating on that and really making that commitment to God, it was like his spirit said to me, you know, you focus on those first four things and I'll take care of the last one. You start getting heavenly minded. You start walking in holiness. You start being bold about the truth. You start focusing your life instead of being distracted. I'll take care of the power. You do that, I'll make sure there is all kinds of power in your life. You won't have room in your life for the power I'm going to send your way. But you do those things, and I'll take care of the rest. And I think if the church in America could lay a hold of that, man, we could maybe make an impact. Praise God. And I want to say, you know, since I've been doing those things, I genuinely sense a greater power from God, a sense of a more tangible sense of his presence in my walk, in my daily life. He is there, more present, more powerful, more real and tangible to me than he has ever been in the past. So let me close with this. What does God want to change in your life? What is God shining his light on in your life? If you could think of one thing. And let me say this about that. You know, that guy, Stephen Kingsley, when he would come into somebody's house to show them the stuff that they need to wash up, before he would turn on the light, first he'd turn off the lights. First he'd make the room dark. Because the light that's in the darkness shines much more brightly. And so if you're going through a dark period in your life, maybe it's because God wants to highlight some things. Maybe he wants that light to shine brightly on the stuff that he wants to change in your life. And let me ask you this. Have you actually asked him? Have you been bold enough to say, God, what do you want to change in my life? That's a bold question, man. To say, God, I am willing to change. I am covenanting with you right now. Whatever it is you put your finger on, whatever it is that you send into my heart when I ask this question, God, I want to covenant with you right now. I want to change that. Are you willing? If you say that, are you willing to ask the bold question, God, what do you want to change in my life right now? What do you want me to deal with in my life right now? I give you permission to shine your light upon it, and I promise you that when you do, I will confess and agree with you about it, and I will seek your help and grace to change. Scary question, because we like our sin, man. We're comfortable with our sin. Have you asked him? Have you sought him? Praise God. I'm not even going to get to the fifth big if. Fifth big if says if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I don't know anybody here who wants to call God a liar. So let's get real with God today. Let's ask him, God, what do you want to change? I'm ready to confess it. I'm ready to agree with you about it. Let's just take a moment. And if someone could bring in the kids, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to turn this over to my brother, Matt. He's going to lead us in the Lord's Supper. And if we could just prepare our hearts and ask God, what do you want to change, God? What do you want to shine your light on? I promise I won't argue with you about it.